Now, hopefully you've got one of these in your vicinity. Number four, it should say. That's the one for this, that'll guide us through this week. And let me say, so as I've said every week, anything good that comes from these has probably come from here, side by side by Ed Welch. We have three copies now that are there for the borrowing. You could take, if you'd like one, take it. Read it, bring it back so that someone else can enjoy. It's there for you if you'd like to. I'm gonna, I'll put them here. Come find me if you want to borrow one. So last week we were trying to say that we have the Spirit. We have the Spirit. We were looking at the fact that we have the Spirit, and that makes all the difference. We know God. If we know God, we can direct people to him. If we know God, we can direct people to him and bring him to bear on the situations that those people around us are facing. And God uses each of us in each other's lives to speak the truth in love, to spur one another on to love and good deeds, and so we grow to become more and more mature in Christ. And we saw last week, we saw those two words that I think are probably, if there's one thing to take from the whole course, is just simply move towards. Move towards. That's the goal. Move towards people to love them well. We'll make mistakes, but let's make mistakes having moved towards them rather than abandon them. And then remember, we had I was really helped by that conversation about greeting and tea and coffee time and the chat and some of the challenges around that. Just to get some of the juices flowing, we've done this most weeks, a little debrief from last week. Those are your questions you've got on your handout. How were you greeted? How did you greet others? Once you've done that, how could you move towards? What would help us move towards? If someone in your table wasn't here last week, maybe you could offer a summary of what we are talking about in the moving towards type stuff. Just a couple of minutes. We won't sort of come back all together, but just to get the juices flowing. How were you greeted? What difference did that make? How could you move towards others? Go! Okay, sorry to interrupt those conversations. We're going to move on. Keep some of that stuff in mind, because it will permeate some of the other stuff that we do. But tonight we're looking at listening. We're looking at listening. It's complicated, isn't it? Looking at listening. So James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And that's quite an interesting verse, because it clearly needed to be said. It needed to be said. Maybe because there is this sort of tension, or at least a difference between listening to hear and listening for a gap to speak. There is a difference between the two. I'm sadly aware of that in my, am I listening? Oh, because I've got something to say, which is a different thing to listening because I want to hear this person. That's always going to be, I think that's an inevitable challenge, because we are inevitably, or at least innately, at the center of our own world. That's what happens. If we're at the center of our world, we're listening for us. And we can't help but see ever since I've been born, I've been looking through my eyes. I'm at the center of my world. We have an inbuilt preference, therefore, to value our opinion above that of God. But this is what makes conversion so extraordinary, because that's what changes at the moment of conversion, right? Where innately we were at the center of our world, the Spirit works in us to make us want to live with Jesus at the center of our world. For his glory, for his reputation, for his plans, for his purposes. And so conversion can mean, becoming a Christian can mean that other people become more important and more interesting, perhaps, than they were before. As in, not they didn't become interesting when they became a Christian. I'm saying that we, having become a Christian might find them more interesting because we're not at the center of our world anymore. We're freed from that. So we're not thinking, for example, in our conversation with someone now, are they on my side? See, that's a sort of me-focused dynamic to the conversation. Are they on my side? Or as we're talking to them, do they have anything to offer me? Are they going to be able to help me? Are they useful to me? Might they be a good contact for me in the future? How are they going to fit into my world? How are they going to help me feel good? Once we're not at the center of our lives, but having been converted, Jesus is at the center of our lives, well, then we can get to appreciate them for who they are, not what they can offer us. Because Christian or not, they are God's handiwork. And we want to say that their relationship with God is more important than the one they have with me. God seems to have put us in each other's path, so which poses the question, well, how can I serve them? You see, as Jesus becomes the center of our life rather than us as the center of our own lives, we're set free from selfishness in those relationships. Now, sure, we're not the finished article. We'll all see selfishness still in our mind, but you see in our hearts. But you see the trajectory that as Jesus, as the center of our universes moves away from ourselves and towards Jesus, we are freed from having to constantly look at other people in relation to what they can offer me. We can be selfless with them. We can listen attentively as a radical act of selflessness that honors and loves that person and honors and loves their creator. Now, we're going to think about how to listen to people when life is hard. We thought a bit about that in our first session, if you remember back. That was how we share that life is hard. Now we're thinking about how we listen to others when their life is hard. But first, we're going to think about listening to enjoy the good in people. That's the first. We're going to start there. Because otherwise, this all becomes quite artificial. There's a danger that we turn people into projects rather than who we can add on to our to-do list. Even if we're concerned for them, we sort of say, oh, I'm listening because they're going through a hard time. I'll add them to do my to-do list. That's not how we want to operate. This isn't rocket science, but I guess one of the things that I've been struck by, actually in this and I guess with some of the 1 Thessalonian stuff that we've been doing at the moment, how crucial relationship is to this. It's not just, oh, I want to be a helpful person, therefore I need to listen to this person. This is all tied up with building loving, caring, meaningful relationships with one another. Of course, it's possible to have a meaningful conversation with someone we don't know too well, but more likely, and for some issues more wisely, we'll have those sorts of conversations with people we know and we trust. And that means building a depth of relationship into our church family to allow that to happen, right? And that's why we're starting with listening to enjoy the good in people, because that's how that might be the route that depth of relationship, by which depth of relationship comes, so that we're ready to have those conversations when hard times come. Now, to some of us, some of this might feel quite awkward. Like, right, I'm going to discover the good in you. Things in you that's worth celebrating. That might we alluded to some of our British sensitivities last week, didn't we? You might say, hey, listening to the good in people. Wait, Ollie, have you read Genesis 3? Have you understood Genesis 3 that all humans sin? How can we talk about this sort of enjoying the good in people? We're sinners. Well, yes, but before Genesis 3, there is Genesis 1. We are all, and we'll come to Genesis 3 more stuff next week, but Genesis 1, we're all made by the good and brilliant Creator. We bear His image and are sustained by His breath. We're sustained by Him in every breath. We experience His blessing in innumerable ways every minute of every day. And that means that there are good things to discover, to praise God for and enjoy in everyone. Everyone. Even, so, I mean, the New Testament letter of 1 Corinthians, Paul spends pretty much all that letter having a go at the Corinthians. And yet, 1 verse 4, first thing he gives thanks for them. And this can be hard because I guess most of us, or is it maybe we can be quite quick to notice some of the sinful things or some of the more irritating things in each other. Those things that distract us from enjoying the good in other people's lives. But everyone has experienced God's goodness. Okay, so that's what we're trying to do in this section. We're trying to notice God's goodness in each other. And the first way we see that is that we all have God as our creator. So the person that you're speaking to, or who's speaking to you, look at who he has made them to be. God has made us all in his image, all unique. We all resemble God himself in some ways, in different ways. And he has given us different strengths and weaknesses, different physical forms, different preferences, different interests, gifts, talents. He's given some compassion and diligence, some real humility, strategic thinking. Someone can bring real joy into the room. Someone's a real encourager. Someone's really trustworthy, a loyal friend. Someone's really perceptive. Someone's really funny. Someone's really easy to talk to. Someone's a deep thinker. Do you see? God made them like that. Notice it. God made them like that. So God the creator. But also, so it's not just about who he has made us to be, but what he's enabled us to do. God is their sovereign. The person we're speaking to, God is their sovereign. He rules over their life. He rules over that person's, over the details of every person's life. He has been at work in our lives. He gives us great achievements and great experiences. He's growing us and he's teaching us in all these different things. He's led us through dark valleys, and he can enable extraordinary courage and patience or endurance in certain situations. God works in each and every person's life. Notice what he's doing in their lives. We're going to pay special attention to harder times later, but for now we're looking to enjoy the great things in people's stories. Any human being has these stories. Any human being has stories to tell which speak of their creator and their sovereign, even if they don't know it. And we can enjoy hearing them, and so honor them and honor him. But of course, there's a third way. A Christian experiences God's goodness as their savior, as he pours out his grace into our lives, adopting us as his very own children, gladly forgiven, dearly cherished, and secure forever. We're going to think about God's response to sin in next week's session, but now we're just wanting to hear one another speak of the good things that go with being saved, how the Lord has worked in each other's life, how encouraging it is to hear of someone's testimony, seeing how maybe the Lord brought them to faith initially, or how he sustained them through different things since. So we're going to try and listen to enjoy the good in people. And the way we're going to do that is by chatting about these questions in groups, or at least firstly, we're going to have just a moment to pause and to think of those questions for yourself. So what story can you tell of God, your creator? What are you good at? What do you enjoy? How are you wired? What's your happy place? Or what story can you tell of God, your sovereign? What have you seen or heard? What experiences have moved or shaped you? What have you survived? What opportunities have you had? And then we may well also be able to tell of the story of God's saving grace in our lives. How did God save you? How has he changed you since then? How has Jesus become more precious to you over the years? How have you known yourself to be safe in his arms forever? Okay, so those are sort of that's the ballpark of territory that we're thinking for ourselves. And then the point is, we're going to listen to each other share those things. Okay, just maybe one thing for each category. So have some time to think of something to share in each of those three categories. And then the point is, in your groups, you're going to take it in turns, if you're up for it. No pressure. If you've been here over the weeks, if you learn, I don't want to be too prescriptive. If you can't cope with the sort of role model type thing role play type thing, then I get that. And I'm sure you have something to talk about. But hopefully, having acknowledged those things, written those things down, share them. Someone listen, and then if you're listening, this is on you now. We're working you hard. Notice what animates them. Notice what excites them. What's important to them. As you do that, you're noticing God's work in their lives. You're noticing you're seeing you're getting to know them. You're getting to know them, and you're honoring God who made them like that. Okay, we're sort of making the implicit explicit in those conversations, and then speak it back to them. So tell them what you heard and give thanks for them. You could say, hey, look, I want to tell you about the grace I've seen in you. You've remained hopeful in hard times. How have you done that? You've been given some amazing gifts. Let me pray for you that God is going to will guide you to use them wisely in his service. That might be a response of something that you could say. Does that make sense? I'm looking around and I'm getting some blank looks, I have to say. So I'm a little nervous, but let's go back to basics. You've got three questions. Firstly, think of answers, at least an answer to each of those three questions. Then you're going to share that with the person you're in a group with, and they're going to talk to you about it. Is that okay? Sorry to interrupt those conversations. Let's draw together. Whether you went big and did go for the sharing and then the feeding back to each other. I hope that was a helpful conversation. We were helped there. But notice those sort of sentence starters at the bottom of that page in the italics. I was just reflecting how there are a couple. Two or three people over the years in my life who have said things like this to me, and how important those conversations have been in my walk with the Lord. And I would hope that most of us will be able to have experienced some level of that, and know how precious it is. But we were reflecting how it's quite hard to get to that point in a conversation. You know, when would you say, I want to tell you more about the grace I have seen in you? Now, that might be a sort of jargony phrase. I get that. But I guess the point of doing that exercise is to help us to get to that point. So we're trying to say, so we might not naturally say, I want to tell you more about the grace that I have seen in you. But you are likely to often be talking about something that person enjoys, and as you ask more questions about that, find out what they're really valuing or why that's so precious, that might reveal something about the way that God has made them that means that they are a particular gift to the church or to you or to other people for whatever reason, that then allows you to say something like, oh, I thank God for the way you've done this. Praise God, you have an amazing gift in that area of ministry, or I love the way that you really care about that person that you're seeking to serve, and how you sort of feel it with them, and your the way you pray for them. That's amazing. That's not small thing. That's an extraordinary thing. Go for it. By way of encouragement. Any other reflections off the back of your conversation just now? It might be that there's not. Sorry, I didn't prime the sound desk. I just want to give some space. Having been able to stick my oar in there, I want to give the opportunity, if there is something to share. But I'm totally fine if not. We'll press on. Okay, let's press on. Okay, so listening to what is hard. We spoke about hard things in week one, trying to remember that we're needy, but now we want to think about how to hear about the troubles that others face. And it sounds sort of super simple. Well, we want to listen well, but it's surprisingly hard. I guess that's kind of why people do say, you know, good listeners really are highly prized around the place. Of course, listening often starts with asking. So here are a few top tips for listening well to what is hard from Ed Welch. So ask like you mean it. And this is kind of back to the how are you, I'm fine type conversation that we've had a couple of times here. Even if you were willing to share how you really are, it's possible to be asked that question, how are you, without ever feeling like the person who's asked it has any interest in what you're about to say, right? I think we've all been there. We were talking about that. And that's so easy to do. Sometimes I bumble up to someone, hey, how are you? Knowing if I'd have just thought about it, that Ollie, why did you go in like that? You knew that there was something going on. You've created this atmosphere where they're never going to share anything hard, because the only answer you've allowed them to give is, oh, everything's great, thanks, how are you? And we've talked about how it can just be a sort of social nicety that we just need to go through. And let's remember, this is not a game of here are the things that you are allowed to say and here are the things that you're not allowed to say. And if you say something that's on the wrong list, then you're expelled forever. That's not the dynamic here. We're just trying to work out how we can love each other well by asking good questions, saying helpful things to allow each other to share genuinely. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the how are you, I'm fine, and we just sort of move through that process. But it might be that we come back to it and say, oh, how are you really? Or can you tell me more about that? Or just asking a more specific question that might then take a longer journey to get to that question. But it's worth it. Something like, how did that make you feel? How's the week been? How's the week been? A specific thing that gives them the opportunity to share that it's been really hard. Are your family well? What are the big things going on in your life at the moment? Are you in a good place at the moment, or are things a bit more challenging? Some of those questions are less intimidating to ask. Less intimidating to answer. That allow a genuine response. So ask like you mean it. Listen to the end. If someone does start sharing something, whether that's at church or if you've bumped into them in the street or over dinner or whatever, then there probably will be a temptation in you to change the topic. Because we love an easy life, or at least lots of us do. I do. I want an easy life. We just want to have a nice time. We don't want to spoil this nice dinner with a conversation about something that's really hard. Let's just park that. Let's move on to something much more pleasant, something that we can have a really nice time on. We might try and distract because we're not willing to share that burden, or we're focusing on all the things that we've got going on in our life. And like, oh gosh, you've mentioned that. I just cannot deal with that now. Let's just stay in the safe place of talking about the weather over here. That is a key moment. I think I want to say that is a key moment when someone's sort of offered a glimpse of the fact that life isn't going so smoothly. The way we respond in that moment, I think it is really important. I think if we give them the blank look that says, I just don't want to go there, then that person's not going to share with us again. Or worse, they'll learn that sharing their own vulnerability is not acceptable in our church. So we listen with good body language, eye contact, appropriate affirmative noises and things like that. Not to manipulate, not to sort of do it because this is the project and this is how we do the project well, but we're wanting them to be to know they're loved. We want to love them well by helping them to share, because in sharing we can walk with them, and we take it that will be good for them and us. And we listen to the end. We don't interrupt. We might interrupt sometimes. I mean, think of why might we interrupt? We interrupt because we're bored, or we're embarrassed, or we're bursting with our own importance about our own woes, or sometimes we're trying to love them in our way. We want to fix things, so we want to get our words in. No, listen. Because there is no substitute for careful, patient listening. If you listen until someone really has finished, you have already loved them. If there's one thing, I guess, to take away from tonight, I think we want to say listening is a thing in and of itself. It's not sort of the preface to care. It is care. It's not the whole story. There's more to say. But it is in itself loving care to listen. Then the third thing is pray. Pray, remember, follow up. So what are we praying for? Well, we thought about that the other week. Healing, comfort, faith, everything. Then remember. This is hard for us, isn't it? But if we've really listened, I think, and certainly if I've prayed about something, I'm much more likely to be able to remember what it is someone has shared with me. Because it's a more meaningful thing. I've taken it to the Lord myself. I'm much more likely to be able to remember what the issue is next week, or whenever I speak to them next. I shared something with someone this week. They listened beautifully. Then they prayed for me. I knew they loved me. I knew they were with me and they were for me. And then a few days later, I got a text from them saying, or sort of following up on the thing that we were sharing with. That communicated to me I didn't feel like a project in that moment. I felt loved in that moment. I felt cared for. I felt walked with. So you send a message. How did X go? How is your aunt's health? I was praying for you. How are you doing? A few don'ts that are in the book that I found quite helpful, actually, quite challenging, or at least thought-provoking into how we respond, how we listen well to one another. Because the danger is we become... Actually, no, I won't say that. That's fine. I've given the precursor. We don't want this to turn into, you are allowed to say this, you don't want to say this. We're just trying to help each other out with some of these themes going on in our heads. If someone says something that's really hard, don't say, oh, well, it could be worse. It might be tempting, especially if you say, if you're aware of other things in other people's lives that on paper might be much more challenging, I think I want to say that is irrelevant to this conversation. God doesn't compare our present sufferings to anyone else's situations or the worst case scenarios. It is what it is, and it is hard. So don't say it could be worse. He meets us in our time of need, as it is. You don't need to compare. Now, I don't know whether this is controversial. Don't say, what is God teaching you through this? Now, at one level, I actually love that question. I really love it. I love the instinct to relate it to the Lord. I take it we probably all believe that the Lord uses all our situations to teach us things about himself, to teach us things about the world, to teach us things about ourselves. And certainly when we look back at hard times, we'll be able to say, we might be able to discern, oh, he really taught me this in that season, or he really grew me in this area in that season. But there are real dangers, I think, in asking that sort of question inappropriately, and probably in the midst of it. Here's why. It could prevent compassion. We won't show compassion if we think that all of this is just happening to teach someone a lesson. Do you see the logic there? We won't care for people if we're saying, oh, God really needed to teach you that, didn't he? It's not compassionate. It could be condescending. As if sort of communicating a sense of, oh, I wonder when you'll understand what it is that God is teaching you through this. So throwing it back at them, not acknowledging the fact that it is hard in that moment. Or it suggests that it's just a solvable riddle. You know, learn the lessons and fix the suffering. That's not what's going on here. Perhaps most dangerously, with saying something like, "What is God teaching you through this?" is that it suggests that it always sort of undercuts God's call to trust Him. Don't you think? It means that basically you might not know what the answer is, but he does say trust him. It's not a question of saying I've lost my train of thought, I'm sorry, you know what this is like. I guess I want to say we don't always know the answers. We don't know what the answer is, but he does say trust him. I'll leave it there. Another controversial one. If you need anything, please call me anytime. We've all said that. I've said that many times, or something like that. That is a wonderful thing to say in many ways. The problem is that sufferers usually don't know what they want or need, and they probably won't call you in that situation. They might do, but it is kind of throwing it onto them, burdening them with it. It could be said in a way that says, you know, I've said something nice, now see you later. I've sort of left the balls in your court, I've cleared my conscience of it, I'm off. You haven't actually given any thought to the sufferer's needs in that moment. Or their circumstances. Much better. What can I do to help? Could I give you a lift here? Can I pray for you? Can I pray these things for you? Can I do some shopping for you? Can I cook you a meal? Whether it might be practical, it might be more. It might not be. But can I do this? Can I do that? Or better still, just do it. You know, there are a few people in the church. One of the privileged positions of me being vicar, every now and again I hear of someone who has just done something beautiful for someone who's going through a really hard time. Just got on and done it. Silently, no one really knows, but they've gone and bought X, Y, or Z for them because they or taken them somewhere else. They've just done it. That shows real compassion and love, doesn't it? I think that's that kind of them. I'm going to do this for you. That shows genuine love, doesn't it? So, our final thing of the evening is to try this out, and we've got 10 minutes to do this, and we're back to some role play. And actually, I need my hand out. So, here we go. You're going to say, "Hello, how are you?" And then you're going to give your normal type of response. I had a good weekend doing this. And then it's up to A to try and find a way to communicate the fact that you really do want to know something more. That you want to go, that you're up for going to that a level of depth that wasn't revealed in that first question. Okay, so it might be something like, okay, and how are you doing really? Tell me about that thing that I know is going on in your life that's really hard. Or Are you okay with how that went, or was that quite a lot harder? And then B, you can so you split yourselves up into A, B, into A and B, and then A, you're trying to say something, say nothing. You're trying to listen well, and then and acknowledge what you're hearing in an appropriate way, until they've stopped talking, not interrupting them, and then you can read the rest. But can we do that? Try and do that exercise A, B. So split yourselves up into A and B. And then the goal here, guys, is to try and help us to listen, not at a level of depth. I'm sorry, I'm quite conscious that I haven't communicated that very well, but you guys are very wonderful, and you'll be able to work it out. But we're trying to listen well to one another at a deeper plane than just how was your week. And then we'll sing to finish in 10 minutes' time. Go. The last line of the handout suggests that you might want to pray for each other. Can I encourage you to do that just for a couple of minutes? It might be something that something that you've spoken about. You might have spoken about some hard things. It might be things that you've, some of the good that we were talking about before. But it would be a shame if we were trying to model listening well to one another and we never actually prayed about things. So for a couple of minutes, can I encourage you to pray, and then we'll sing our final song. Who are we missing up here? Is the band want to come up? Wonderful. I'm conscious you've worked hard this evening. You've earned your dinner. Thank you for giving yourself to the task. And even in a slightly, perhaps, cumbersome way, I guess we're trying to grow in our ability as a church to listen well to one another, to listen, to not just have conversations at a certain at a surface level, but but for them to be at a much deeper level, and for them to be more meaningful, and used by the Lord to grow us in Him. We have a Lord who holds us fast. That's what we're going to sing of this evening. That is the wonderful comfort in all this, in our weakness and in our walking alongside one another, as we seek to hold each other through hard things. We have a God wonderfully who does that first and foremost, and whose grasp cannot let go of his children. So let's stand and rejoice in this wonderful truth that God holds us fast.